You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Ngāru Roro is a brand new Māori wellbeing model. Created to fill a gap in self-reporting wellbeing models, Ngāru Roro's development was a collaborative process. The model includes eight key themes in relation to wellbeing: he re tangata, social and familial ties; te tai ao, the environment; taonga tuku iho, cultural treasures; tinana, body; wairua, spirit; nāko, inner systems; mātia, core needs; and mana, authority. I spoke to the lead author of the article and PhD researcher at Victoria University of Wellington, Whini Narangi Johnson of Rongomai Wahine and Ngāti Kahununu, about Ngāru Roro, and we also spoke about the application of wellbeing models.
So the model gets its name from a kōrero I had with my uncle, Dr. Joe Tirito, and we conducted a set of interviews and we got some themes. And from that, we had the idea that the wellbeing model was going to have something to do with water. So there was this idea that there were different streams of wellbeing that were interconnected and that flowed and that were holistic. And so as I was talking to my uncle, he said, oh, well, there's a whakapapa kōrero about how our awa in Here Taonga, the Ngāru Roro, got its name. And that relates to different tributaries of the river coming together, and when they do, creating turbulent waters. And so this idea of these different streams coming together and moving around, he said, was quite fitting for these different ideas that we shared about the model. And so he said, oh, well, that's it, the Ngāru Roro, that can be the name of your model. So that's how the model got its name. It came to be after a conversation in the first year of my master's thesis, where I was trying to decide on a topic. And I was interested in Māori men's wellbeing and in having these conversations with people in my lab group down here at Victoria University in the School of Psychology. I said, oh, yeah, cool, you want to do that, mahi, that's awesome. What are you going to use to measure their well-being? And I said, oh, we've got stuff like Whareatapa Whānau, Te Whiki. I'll just use a Māori well-being measure. And they were like, I don't think there is one. I said, surely not. There, you know, I looked online and there was no self-report Māori well-being measure that had been like validated statistically and that was appropriate for use. So I was like, all right, guess I got to make one. And so we endeavored on this research journey. And this started off as, yeah, as I said, a master's thesis. I quickly learned that the project was going to be far too big for 1 year. And so we upgraded into a PhD project, which I've been working on for the past 3 years.
And you speak there about the research journey, so I wanted to ask a little bit about that. What did the research process involve from this project?
Yeah, so it was in developing this tool, this measure, we had to establish a foundation, a theoretical base. And a lot of times when people do research and they create scales like this, they'll often just write up a bunch of items that they think will be relevant, a whole bunch of survey questions, and then they'll do some analysis and they'll see, oh yeah, we'll see what fits together like a puzzle, and that can be our measure. We were really committed to having kōrero with people in the community, to different Māori, and asking them what's important so that we had a real robust foundation for our research. So what we ended up doing was conducting two sets of interviews. So the first set were really exploratory. We talked to 9 members of the Māori community and asked them things like, what are sources of well-being for you? What's important? And so after that, I transcribed it all up and we engaged in a qualitative analysis called a thematic analysis, which involved looking at the transcripts, looking at different ideas, and putting them into different codes or sub-themes, and then generating higher level themes. So we hear people talking about eating well, sleeping well, exercising, having their face seen. We thought, all right, those are all connected. And then we figured and made a code for that, a theme called tinana, got to do with the body and physical health. So we went that process. And after that, we generated a tentative model, which had a set of themes and items. So we thought, all right, this is pretty cool. We took it to our advisory group. We had a big collective discussion, a wānanga, where we looked at some of those Māori cultural concepts that we used and the data, and collectively looked and tried to map it out and ensure that it's robust. And so we thought, okay, this is cool. Let's take it out again and let's refine this model. So we conducted another set of interviews, and this was study two. And here we had chats with another 15 members of the Māori community. And here we initially said to them, hey, what's important for your well-being? So we got them to list a whole bunch of things that were really important to them. Then we encouraged them to organize those things into different groups to see what sort of themes would organically emerge. And after they did that, then we presented them with the model. And we said, this is what we've come up with after these past set of interviews and our analysis. How do those things that you've presented with fit into that? And do you see any similarity? And after kind of that mapping process, we then engaged in a general feedback and refinement session. We asked a whole lot of questions like, what are your thoughts on this model? Does it reflect the experience of you and your whānau? Are there any items or things that are missing? Is there anything that doesn't make sense? Just to go through and have another kind of improvement and refinement. And then from then, we were able to create the Ngarūroro model.
Your research describes well-being as having an active relationship with three key areas: here tangata, social and familial ties, te taio, the environment, and taonga tuku iho, cultural treasures. How did you see that play out in respondents' answers?
Oh, excellent question. So here tangata, that includes whānau. Whānau was the biggest thing that people talked about across all of the interviews. And so people described how their well-being is just not connected to theirs alone, but when their whānau is not doing well, then that ultimately impacts them as well. And so that was huge. Te taiao, of course, being out in the bush, being out in the mountains and the different bodies of water was huge, and being in good relation with that, because in our everyday life, for a lot of us, we're not so closely connected because we're inside smashing away on keyboards or something. So that was, you know, another core thing that people talked about. And then taonga tuku iho. So there's cultural treasures like te reo Māori, tikanga Māori. And with the general experience and, you know, results of colonization leading to cultural disconnection, we had a whole lot of people that talked about that reconnection to te reo Māori and how that in itself is a huge source of well-being for them. So those were the three things that we framed as part of being in good relation with, as part of the broader model.
Mm. And I think there's a general misunderstanding about the kind of practicality that a well-being model like Ngarūroro actually can have. What are the implications of well-being models like this, and what do you foresee the effect of this being?
Well, to look at potential impacts of this model, we can look at the impact of existing models, like Te Whare Tapawhā by Sir Mason Jury and Te Whiki by Nanny Rose Pere. And those models have had such a profound impact over the last 40 years as to Māori social, economic, and cultural development. That really just shows that when you have these big, accessible ideas that can help people change the way they think about their well-being, at, like, the sky's the limit. So, you know, they've involved policy, educational programs, change the way that Māori in Aotearoa and non-Māori see and understand Māori well-being. So my hope is that in providing this model, not only is it useful for the development of our self-report Māori well-being measure, but that it can be something that whānau can look at and connect to and be able to just continue that learning process and reflect upon what those different things are that contribute to their well-being, and maybe even identify new sources of well-being that they can draw upon when they're having a tough time.
And finally, I just want to finish up with, I guess, a question about your own reflections on the process. Was there any big or salient learning that you came out of this process with?
I think there were some really key learnings about understanding that there are diverse Māori realities. So by that, we talk about the different experiences of Māori people throughout generations, experiences of their family, of urbanization, of socioeconomic status and levels of Māori cultural embeddedness, and how all of those different factors intersect and interact to produce these different Māori experiences. And so interviewing all these people was really eye-opening as to, yeah, how all of these Māori realities differ and all of the diversity that we have in our community. And in that, how different people will interact with these different themes of well-being differently. and will ultimately experience well-being differently. So yeah, that diversity was just really incredible and beautiful to see.
That was PhD researcher Finlay Narangi Johnson speaking on Naru Roro, a new Māori wellbeing model. We will include a link to their Instagram in the podcast bio.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.